You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I am joined, as always, by Rhett Bollinger. And Rhett, the Twins are, as we record this, they are 11-5 in May. They're averaging 5.3 runs per game. In both cases, those are among the best marks in Major League Baseball. So May has been a very good month in Minnesota. Here's another stat, Rhett. Against teams not named the Detroit Tigers, the Twins are 19-10 this year with a plus 35 run differential. So just get some more teams not named the Tigers in the mix there, and they're in good shape.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. I don't know what it is about that matchup in particular. Obviously, Detroit's a tough matchup for a lot of teams, especially for the Twins for whatever reason.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Tigers so far have had their number. The Twins actually played pretty well against them. I think they were 10-9 against the Tigers last year, and so far the Tigers have kind of beat up on them. You know, I think solid win there in Detroit last week, but lost 2 out of 3, including kind of a blowout loss in last week of the road trip to Cleveland and Detroit. So, yeah, Detroit's just playing pretty well. But you're right, other than that, the Twins have played really well against a lot of division teams. I think 28 of their games already have been against the division. They've already played, you know, the Indians and White Sox a couple times. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I think they're holding their own early, which is a good sign, especially after that 1-6 start.
Yeah, they recovered very nicely from that first week. And a couple roster moves this past week that are worth delving into. I was surprised by the move to ship out Kenny Vargas, who was a guy a lot of people were excited about after the second half last season, just pure power-wise. Got off to a very slow start, but what was surprising was the timing of the move just as he seemed to be heating up. So what was your take on that decision?
Yeah, it was surprising to me, too. I mean, like you said, heating up there in May, I think he was hitting 375 in May before he was sent down. But I think overall, the bigger picture was his overall numbers look very good. I think he was hitting below 250. He doesn't really walk much, so on bases below 300, and he wasn't really hitting for much power. He had 3 home runs in the year and 10 RBIs. So they're hoping he could be kind of a force in the middle of that lineup like he was late last season. It never really happened. The strikeout rate was too high, the walk rate was too low, and the home runs weren't really coming. So I kind of get it in that sense. But it was kind of surprising. You're right. I think the swing kind of got a little bit better and the timing got better as the month went along. So I think more than anything, now they want to get him some confidence, get that back on at AAA. It's easy to forget he's never even played at AAA before. I mean, last year, he got called up from Double A, so it's one of those things. He can get constant playing time. Right now, he's been kind of benched a lot, kind of moved on. Really like Eduardo Escobar season, playing a lot of left, kind of DHing, and Eddie Rosario has been getting some action in left field as well. And they got Aaron Hicks in center, so kind of became more of a crowded roster in some ways. And so, like, okay, let's just get this guy kind of get some playing time down in Triple A, get that swing going, because I still think he's going to be a big part of this team going forward, especially that power he can bring. Just a matter of getting him to stop swinging those pitches outside the zone.
Well, you mentioned Hicks, and his return was, of course, the other big move of this past week, putting him back in center field. And, you know, Terry Ryan has said, hey, you know, giving this guy the job at the start of 2013 was probably a mistake. He wasn't ready. But Hicks obviously put some things together at the AAA level this year, and given this opportunity in center field right now, what do you think this is a long-standing opportunity for him, and how do you view his, ability to seize it?
Yeah, I think it is an opportunity for sure to do that. It's a matter of him actually going out and doing it. You're right. I think more than anything, we've seen him struggle in the majors the last 2 years, but this year at AAA, he really was dominating that level. He's hitting for power. He was drawing a lot of walks. He kind of changed his swing up. He's got more of a kind of a leg kick instead of a toe tap when he swings. So I think it's kind of helped with his timing a little bit, and even just the power in general, able to kind of drive the ball a little better. So, yeah, I think for him so far, he's kind of held his own a little bit, especially defensively. He's been very good defensively this first week. Offensively, I think he'll only has the one double, but it's got a couple hits there. So I think, yeah, if he can kind of continue that and show that solid defensive center and hit a little bit, I think that it's kind of his job to lose, because Jordan Schaefer really struggled there early in the year, and now he's on the DL with a knee issue, and really the numbers for him have been pretty down across the board this year. And Rosario is more of a kind of a corner outfit. I don't think he'd even played him yet in center field. He can handle it on like kind of an interim basis, maybe Rosario could, but he's not a true center fielder the way that Hicks is. So really, to look at the roster, and Trane Robinson's done a good job as kind of a fourth outfielder guy off the bench. But right now, with the way the roster's constructed, Hicks is kind of the only real true center fielder that could play on a kind of an everyday basis. So I think for right now, that's the plan until see how he kind of does, and then we'll see what happens once Hicks is healthy.
we talked about this before, but and you know, the Torrey Hunter influence on a young guy like Hicks in center field, that's such a key relationship for this club, not just for the now, but for the long term as well.
Yeah, definitely. Those two are very close to spring training. Kind of anywhere, you know, Torrey went, Aaron Hicks went, and then Byron Buxton, and he was in big league camp. And Aaron and Torrey remain close now, and even when Aaron was at AAA, he's texting Torrey and talking to Torrey about stuff. And I think now it's nice, even the other day during the day game on Saturday before the game, you see, even though Hicks' locker is on the other side of the clubhouse, he's sitting there with you know, kind of Torrey, just kind of picking his brain about different stuff there. So it's kind of nice to see as kind of a younger guy kind of be mentored by a guy like Hunter who's been around the game for so long.
Well, shifting gears here, Rhett, as much as we're encouraged by the, you know, major statistical strides the Twins starters have made this season versus seasons past, they're still only striking out 5.3 batters per nine innings. And I guess we're just accustomed to this idea of the Twins not being a major strikeout staff, but that's certainly a, especially by today's standards, with strikeouts, you know, up across the board in Major League Baseball the last few years, that's such a strange number to see. So is that maybe the one thing you point to as a worry with this staff as far as, you know, its ability to be stable for the whole season? Because it's an easy target to look at something like that. They're not overpowering opposing batters, basically.
Yeah, definitely. That's kind of been their problem now for the last 4 or 5 years. It's really kind of a lack of strikeout pitchers. And this year, the numbers, at least overall, with ERA and everything, are pretty good, like you mentioned. But strikeout rate being that low and that much lower, really, than the league average, eventually, you know, balls into play, you know, are going to turn into hits a lot, like how good your defense is. So you kind of, you know, having a strikeout staff can kind of mask those issues defensively. And right now, the thing we've seen, though, and, you know, the nice thing for the Twins is for the guys like, you know, Kyle Gibson and Mike Palfrey, who aren't strikeout guys that have really low ERAs, I think the one thing that's really helped them is the infield defense has been really good. We know how good Dozier is at second. We know how good Plouffe has become a great third baseman defensively, too. And Maurer is a very good defensive first baseman. And Santana, some growing pains a little bit, some errors, but in general, really good range. So we've seen the ground ball guys kind of put up these really good numbers because the ball's put into play. They're turning into outs with a solid defense behind them on the infield. But the outfield, you know, we see a little bit more issues where, you know, Torrey's kind of held his own right. It hasn't been as bad as some of the metrics made him out to be. Arcia definitely chugged out there and left. And Schaefer did too, with the knee in general, wasn't very good defensively out there. I think having Hicks out there now helps. Having Azar play on left helps with his range. So I think if they can kind of get the defense going, that at least helps. The fact that they don't have, you know, a staff that strikes a lot of guys out. But I think, yeah, long term, I don't think guys like Gibson or Palfrey, their ERAs are going to stay as low as they are just because of that, because they don't really strike enough guys out. But at the same time, if you look at some of the advanced metrics, guys like Ricky Nolasco and Trevor May are going to have lower ERAs going forward just because if you look at stats like, you know, building independent pitching, FIP, and all those indicators show they've gotten unlucky, and they're more of kind of fly ball guys than Phil Hughes. So I think maybe once they kind of stick with that outfield defense, if they can, that'll help them. Because I think going forward, without any real big spikes of guys in that staff, other than maybe Trevor May, we're going to see them kind of regress a little bit.
Yeah. And it seems like Paul Molitor really wants to push these guys, like a young guy like May, making a start the other day, really made a concerted effort to push him to go deeper into the game, go into the seventh inning. And that just seems to be, in general, what the Twins need, is to raise that culture of guys pitching deeper into games and taking the pressure off the bullpen in general.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of the thing the last couple of years, the bullpen kind of held up the last few years just because didn't go deep into the games at all. And so I think right now, Modern's guys have that mentality to try to go deeper into these games. And that one game with May, you know, they're playing into the lead. May never even pitched in the seventh inning in his career before.
Right.
So he sent them back out there at 90 pitches and he blew it with a 2-run home run. They gave up to Beckham, but sure enough, the Twins rallied back and won. And so I think even though it didn't work out for May, at least he knew that he had the manager's confidence to go back out there. He's not allowed to call Gibson this year, too. His last start of the day, only went 5 innings and ended up hurting him because it kind of showed what happens if you can't go deep. If he goes 5 innings, give him 3 runs, then the bullpen comes in and gives up, you know, 8 runs or so. So that's kind of the thing. You got to get going deeper. And I think that it's kind of a good sign to do that with May and Gibson and these guys.
All right. Rhett's all over it, as always. And the Twins hope to continue what has been a really hot May for them and keep it going on through the summer. So,
I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank Rhett for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.